Robin Carter sat in her 5-year-old silver polo, watching and waiting for the front door to open. She couldn't pass the time by reading or doing a crossword, because she had to be ready to act. Her video camera lay on the passenger seat, next to a discarded fruit and nut bar wrapper. Her quarry, Terence Smith, was inside number 52 Rosewood Avenue, and she needed to catch him soon. Terence had made an insurance claim for a bad back, allegedly injured while lifting barrels at a pub. Something about his claim had raised suspicions at the insurance company, and they had hired R&J Associates to investigate its validity. She had been in her car since 7 o'clock, simply staring at the door. Much of her work involved hanging around outside houses or workplaces, and could be mind-numbingly dull at times, but Robin did not mind it. She had time on her side, and she had plenty of patience. Her skills had been honed in the police force. She checked her watch, a 16th birthday present from her parents who, at the time, had despaired at their daughter's terrible timekeeping. Simple in style, with a white face and delicate golden pointers, the watch kept accurate time. It had never let her down. Thanks to it, Robin had known exactly what time her parents had been struck and killed by a drunken lorry driver while out walking their retriever, Rufus. She had known what time Dr. Mahmood had given her the news she was expecting a child. She had even known what time she had returned to their hotel room in Marrakesh, bursting to tell her fiancé, Davis, who worked for military intelligence, about the baby. He was not back from a meeting with an informant who knew the location of several militant cells, and she had waited eagerly, anticipating the look that would appear on his face when she told him. She had also known what time the phone rang when a subdued voice told her Davis had been killed in an ambush just outside the city. And she had known what time she miscarried the tiny life form inside her. All of which seemed a lifetime ago. She had changed a lot since those days. She rubbed the leather strap absent-mindedly and checked the time. It was exactly 9:30 when the man emerged from his home. Robin was parked 30 yards down the road. Ross, her associate, was parked facing the opposite direction, so they had the man covered should he turn right or left out of the driveway. Robin snatched the video camera from the seat and pressed the record button. Terence Smith was in his 50s, stocky and balding. He whistled as he headed with a confident swagger towards the driver's door of his Ford Mondeo. As he reached it, the car keys slipped from his grip, tumbling to the floor with a clatter. He bent down to collect them in one swoop before swinging open the door to the car and jumping in. "Gotcha," she murmured as she captured footage of him getting into the vehicle with no evidence of any back pain or restricted movement. Robin had been trailing the man all week and had already filmed him going to the supermarket where he had emerged with 2 large carrier bags of goods that he had hurled into the back of his car with little effort. She put aside the camera. It was time to pursue Terence. She guessed he would be heading to the Mucky Duck, a down-and-out pub in the nearby village, where he had a part-time job as a barman. She might even catch him out, declaring he needed to change a barrel. Sure enough, Terence's car passed hers, and she started the polo's motor, ready to follow at a safe distance. Unlike surveillance of unfaithful husbands, gathering evidence for an insurance claim could take weeks, if not months, of watching the claimant for hours on end. Robin accepted the tedium that accompanied such a case, focusing only on getting results. She was a results woman. She would catch this guy, no matter how long it took to collect the evidence.